revisit and develop where we were Sunday morning. And the Lord really began to cause me to go back and revisit some places that I've been in the past, and some stuff I've actually taught on in the past. But I think it's stuff that needs revisiting, reviewing in our lives. We talked about creating space, or creating opportunities, creating space, which actually creates opportunities for God to move in our life. I think that the biggest obstacle for Christians in our modern society today is not necessarily outward and blatant sin. I think the biggest obstacle for most Christians that I know is busyness. I think the biggest obstacle that the people sitting in this room tonight have, the biggest challenge, the biggest enemy, I'll say enemy, the biggest enemy that you guys have right now is busyness. I think that sin is the fruit of a life that does not create enough space for God to fill it. When we live a life that does not allow room for God to fill it, to move in it, to work through it, and just to be going back and forth, and just this great intercourse in our life, when we have a life that is void of that, the fruit of that life is sin. And a lot of times we'll want to come in and we'll want to deal with sin, 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 sin. Sin's not your big issue. Your big issue is God doesn't have space enough to move in your life. I've always said, and I will stick to this, and I have never varied from this at all, that if I can get people to fall radically in love with Jesus, the rest will take care of itself. If I can just get you to fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with Holy Spirit, fall in love with Yahweh, then I won't have to worry about your church attendance. I won't have to worry about your tithing. I won't have to worry about you being kind and friendly and doing the right thing and saying the right thing, because all those things are going to be the fruit of a full and relational life with God through the Holy Spirit. And so I really want us to talk, the backdrop will be 2 Kings chapter 4 and the Shunammite woman. But I really want us just to come in and talk about that and think about that. I believe that, that this thing is a life of progression. I feel like it starts with us creating space for God to move in our lives. As we create space for God to move in our lives, then the natural ascension out of that is going to be for us to come in and create space, help facilitate places and space for God to move in other people's lives. A maturing thing is not just where I come in and create space for God to move with me. Me and God can hang out on the back porch and do fine. Me and God can hang out on the back 40 and do good. I can see God in nature. I talk to Him in the deer stand and on the trout stream and everywhere else. But the mature developing out of this is not just for me to come in and facilitate that for my life, but to facilitate for other people's lives. That I facilitate it for my children, I facilitate it for my grandchildren, I facilitate it for all of you good people, facilitate it for other people that I'm around, that I set them up and create space for God to move, create ways and opportunities for them to be successful in kingdom life. And then I believe that these two things, and we're going to come back in and revisit all of this, but I believe that these two things, as we begin to marry these things together, that it creates, in turn, it creates a platform where Holy Spirit will then come in and it creates space for heaven's dreams to manifest and move in our life. We see it with the Shunammite woman. If we have time, we'll hit all of these things in her life. And her interaction with Elisha, and ultimately her interaction with Yahweh and God coming in and bringing breathing miracles into her life and all of that. But it all starts with us creating space for God to move in our life. I firmly believe, and anybody in here that's single, this relates to you as well. because I personally believe in polygamy. I have two great marriages in my life. I have two great love affairs in my life, and one is with Lori and the other one is with Yahweh. And so anytime we come in and we talk about marriage principles, if you're single, apply them to your relationship, your marriage to Yahweh. And I have never seen a couple be successful in their marriage if they did not create space for their marriage. I talk to people all the time and they say, well, I'm just so busy, man, I don't have time to spend any time with my spouse. I don't have time to spend time with my, to go on dates with my spouse. It's been months since I've been on dates. I've even had people tell me that it's been over a year since they've been on a date with their spouse. And if you do not create space for your marriage, you're going to have a lousy marriage. I've never seen anybody with a healthy marriage that did not create space for each other. And what you need to do is you need to stop making your kids and their lives an idol in your life. I'll go ahead and get on up there and meddle. I've been there and done that. You need to quit making your kids an idol in your life and their busy schedule an idol in your life. And you need to get healthy and you need to get whole, and then you'll be a fabulous parent. Right now, you're just a good baseball dad or a good soccer mom, but you're not a healthy whole parent, because you're coming in and you're putting all of these activities, all of this busyness ahead of your wholeness with God, and if you're married, your wholeness with your spouse. If your marriage is not a great romance and a great adventure, you got a boring marriage. Most Christians have a boring marriage with Yahweh. That's why they come into the impoverished doctrine and they want to bank on, man, I'm just glad I'm saved and I can't wait till one day it'll be great when I get to heaven. If you don't know Him here and it's not great here, I bet it ain't going to be real fabulous up there if you make it. Hey man, I'm sorry. Everybody give me that look like, man, I'm on, you know, them daggers. And y'all are core. Y'all supposed to be amen, and somebody ought to be standing up shouting right now. I thought we were Pentecostal in here. I'm serious. Most Christians have an extremely boring relationship with Yahweh. If you do not have this great romance going on with God, if you don't have this great romance going on with the Holy Spirit, if you don't have this great romance and adventurous life, your life with Yahweh, your life with the Holy Spirit is supposed to be so doggone adventurous. It should stretch you. It should be like, oh my gosh, I don't know about it. I'm just along for the ride. And I'll go wherever you want to go, man. Just let it, as long as it feels right, man. I'm not talking about feels right to the flesh. I'm talking about it makes my spirit, man, come alive. The only reason we are where we are today, and I'm talking about, you know, we just celebrated 30 years of ministry. We just celebrated over 30 years of kingdom life. And I'll tell you what, it's sweeter today than it was in day one. It's more fabulous today than it was in day one. It's more fabulous today than it was when we were having crazy revivals here. It's more fabulous today than it was the revivals I've been to, whether it was, you know, at Christ Fellowship or the Ramp or Brownsville or anywhere else that I've been. It is more crazy, radical, sweet today than it has been at any point in time. And the only reason that we're here and I can stand and honestly say that today is because we've had an adventurous love affair with Holy Spirit along the whole journey. Got us kicked out of the Baptist church. I used to get invites all the time when I was a Baptist. I did. People call me, Brother Sid, I want you to come preach at our church. Didn't we, baby? I go around, man, I'd go preach at other churches all the time. They just, he's a fired up little old Baptist preacher. I've had Baptist preachers apologize for me in their pulpit after I got done. Not because I did a bad job, but because that I had one of them stand up. It was somewhere down in Carroll County, back in the middle of nowhere. I can't even remember. I remember the pastor, but I can't remember where the church is now. But man, we got up there, and it was one of them, you know, where you shuck corn. You know, you get up there and you just get it, man. God gave me a good word and all that stuff. And then he got up there and he was apologizing to me. He says, you know, he was kind of chuckling and all. And I knew the guy my whole life. And he said, he's all fired up right now, but he'll settle down in a few years and all of that stuff and kind of temper out. And I looked, I probably shouldn't have said this, but I looked over at him, and you can ask, she's shaking her head right now. I said, I hope to God I never lose fire and passion. I rebuked him right in front of his congregation. I didn't get anybody back. But I'll say this. That it has always been an adventure with God. And I've always tried to go places that stretched me and that were adventure. You ladies, y'all just got back from the ladies' conference this weekend. I guarantee you that Lisa Bevere, I guarantee you Harper Lady, and I know for a fact Christine Kane stretched y'all. Challenged y'all. Every time I go see Christine Kane, man, she caused me to lose my manhood, and then she says, you get it back now, boy. Because she just comes in and just like chops me. I mean, just like boom, and I'm like, whoa! I ain't lying, man. Get around people like that. Create space for that in your life. I always made fun of the people in Bremen and the extent of their desire to go anywhere was Panama City and Gatlinburg. I'm not based on resources, because I knew people that were very affluent, but that was the extent of their adventurous vacation and lifestyle and all of that. And I got some places that are sweet and they're my happy places and all that. But I like to expand. I got a guy I work with. Me and Brett make fun of him all the time because he can eat chicken fingers and pizza and some steak, and that's about it. I don't have the most adventurous palate, but it's a lot more adventurous than it was 20 years ago. You know? We kind of laugh about the places it used to be, the big dates for Lori and I when we were. I'm regressing here. I'm just kind of rambling, but I want you to feel what I'm talking about tonight. You know, back when we first started dating, it was Western Steer and Pizza Hut and a few of those spots. You know, and that was the hunt. That was the big deal back in. You know, because there wasn't much around. But my gosh, you carry me to some of that now, and I'm kind of like, really, really. But our life is intended to be this grand adventure. Our life is intended to be this grand love affair. And we do not allow it to happen because we're too stinking busy to give God any space in our life. Our life is intended to be a life that is full of deep covenant relationships. But we don't allow it to happen because we're too busy. I have made this statement, so I'm indicting myself first. How many of y'all have made the statement, I just don't have time for friends? Anybody in here besides me? You got two honest people in here besides me. Me and Lori's made that statement. I'll throw her under the bus with me. I've said, man, I just don't have time for, you know, I got a handful. I ain't got time for anymore. God said, your life's too busy then. I'm too busy to minister and do this and this and that. Your life's too busy. You need to cut out some of your idolatry. We can allow good things to become idols. Your kids can become idols. I love my children, but when they come to the place that it is detrimental to my relationship with God, I need to recheck some things. Because we allow the schedules of 4, 5, 6, and 7-year-olds to run our household. Come on, come on. I'm just speaking truth. Because I can carry you to Bremen Gym Saturday night, and I can show you a bunch of people and their life is being run not by kingdom life, but by life. And there's a difference. I'm not saying we don't do anything. Yeah, we do. Our kids are involved in sports. I applaud you. I'm glad most kids that are involved in sports, they are healthy. They are more disciplined and all of these things. But your kid ain't got to play 58 of them. We're raising a generation that doesn't know God. Because there's no space in their life for God. They can tell you what LeBron tweeted last night, but they don't have a clue what's in here. It's because we didn't create space. We did not create space. We didn't create space. I understand I'm being a bit offensive tonight and meddling a little bit, but I want to provoke thought in you. I want you to think about this. Every married couple in here, when's the last time you went on a date? You ain't got to say it out loud, but when's the last time you went on a date? Get a babysitter. Wine her and dine her, brother. I'm serious. I'll say that from the pulpit. Wine her and dine her. Wine her and dine her, brother. You say, man, I'll hire a babysitter if it's that big a deal. I'll pay for it. I know a good one in our house. I'll hook you up with Michaela and I'll bless you with an evening. I'm serious. Do something crazy. Get her to the Fox Theater. Get a room. Brother, you ain't been spiritual. I didn't come in here for all this stuff. Okay, equate that into your single. Equate that into your kingdom life, Cindy. When's the last time we carved out time with God? I mean, really carved out time with God. I'm talking about get ourselves prepared like we would if we're married and we come in and my wife, Errol and Red are going to Charleston tomorrow. Just cause. We're babysitting for 2 days. Thrilled. They're going up to Charleston. It's one of their happy places. They got married up there. And they're going to go up there and they're going to eat good and they're going to shop some on King Street and Market Street and probably go down the beach and some of that stuff. And I'm thrilled for them. But I guarantee you, you know what they did? They prepared for the trip. That they prepared for the trip. They probably got clothes ready. They probably got perfume ready. They probably made some dinner reservations already. And we come in so haphazard in our relationship with God. Can I challenge y'all on something here? Go home and light some candles and get yourself totally prepared in a romance mindset and spend some time with God. Do that, Paul. Come in and say, man, Yahweh, you're more fabulous than any female I could ever entertain. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna romance you. And I'm gonna turn on some of the sweetest worship music. And I'm going to spend time with you. And I ain't going to get on my face and screaming and pray and all that stuff. I'm just going to enjoy your presence. And I'm going to create an atmosphere that you enjoy my presence. I'm not creating space for God. Creating space for the Holy Spirit to move. I struggle sometimes this time of year, guys. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Y'all know how much I love hunting and all that. If you don't know me, I love hunting. I do. I have since I was a kid. I enjoy every aspect of it. And when it gets about October, you know, my wife's like, oh my gosh, is there another... How many duck hunting shows come on during the week? A bunch. I'd start naming them. I got five of them just right there. That ain't even counting the other ones. The only magazines that I subscribe to are either fly fishing or hunting magazines. And so this time of year, you know what I have to be careful of? I'll spend more time creating space for that than I do creating space for Holy Spirit. Carving this out. I'm talking about communing. I'm talking about relationship. This is not just a casual thing. It has to be very intentional. And it has to be designed for kingdom purposes. You know why I'm a big proponent of going to Christian events? Because when you go to Christian events, you know what you're doing? You're carving out space for God and you're saying, God, nothing's going to get in this space. Nothing's going to get in this space. We go to LA next year, the worship conference. You know what? It's the worship conference, three days, and it's nothing but Holy Spirit. And I believe God honors when I say, you know what? I'm willing to fly halfway across the all the way across the country and rent an expensive house and buy tickets for me and Lori and my family. And so we're going to, I can't spare any vacation time. Well, you went to Panama City 8 times this year. I'm just talking about creating some intentional, designed space. Fill in the blank. You digging it, ain't you, Michelle? You know what I'm talking about. I ain't picking on you because you didn't go to Panama City 8 times this year. Wish you did. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Load up Matt and go. I'll hire a babysitter for the weekend for y'all. I care that much about y'all. She'll do it for free. And she'll, all right, 2 volunteers right now. I'm serious. But we come in and we'll say, my life's too busy. One trap you'll fall in right now, if you're not careful, brother, you just started a new business on top of your existing business and working 6 days a week and going in early and work late. And I get it. We are entrepreneurs. I get it. But unless God's breath is on that business, it will never be what God intended it to be. So the best thing you can do is somehow manage to keep Him in the middle of it. And as long as He's in the middle of it, it cannot fail. Cannot. As long as His kiss is on your life, cannot. So we've got to come to a place where we are intentional, and then we have these things that are designed. They're designed for my only purpose is I'm going to encounter God, and I'm going to spend time with Him, and I'm going to intercourse with Him. It's not an ugly word. I'm going to intercourse. You need to get some Jesus in you. I kid the girls all the time. I said, y'all need some Jesus get up in y'all. Our problem is we don't want to ever intercourse with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to ever intercourse with Father God's interaction into our lives. A place of intimacy. Who's loving who? Come on. Designed for kingdom purposes. Encounters. God's desire is to marry Himself to our land. That's one of the promises in Isaiah 62. Y'all go home and study Isaiah 61. Go buy the Passion Translation and read Isaiah 61 and 62. It'll rock your world. It'll rock your world. That's my personal scripture. I'll let y'all have it too. Y'all can claim it. Isaiah 61, that's my scripture. When he wrote that to me. And in Isaiah 62, it says that Yahweh, God, desires to marry Himself to our land. The only problem is our land's not available. Because we've already betrothed it to everything else. We've already given it to everything else. He cannot marry Himself to your land when you've given your land to everything else that is out there. We prostitute our time to whichever will pay the most or scream the loudest. Think about that. And sometimes it's good things. As glorious as this is, if it does not allow for creating space for us and God, for me and God as an individual, and she and God as an individual, this thing can turn into an idol. The golden calf didn't start out bad. They said, man, we just want something tangible we can worship God with. But then that stuff starts regressing. When it takes the place, starts regressing. And so we have to come into this place to where we make our lives, our land, available to Him to encounter, engage, and inhabit. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, and let's spend a few minutes there. I want to read a few verses. Y'all feel like we've been to church and Sib's just picking on everybody and meddling and getting into all my business and all of that stuff. You know what the challenge is for you guys right now? Or not right now, but it's going to be. Right now, y'all are in a controlled atmosphere where space is created for you. Y'all don't have a problem spending time with God right now, do you? I mean, they're like, dude, you got to go to church when he's not. Got to go to Victory. You got to go somewhere Sunday. Probably Sunday morning and Sunday night, right? Some of y'all getting more church than y'all have ever had in your life right now, ain't you? You're like, yeah. Either you're digging it or you're like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, I don't know what's worse. But the space is being created for y'all. Because y'all have time, not only that you're going to church, but y'all have alone time with you and God. You have group time with y'all and God. You've got journaling time where you go in. Y'all do journals. Y'all still do journals and all that stuff, don't you? I mean, that's healthy. That's part of it. You know, what do you think this is? Y'all think it's sermon notes. That's really journals, me and God. And I just spin it into sermons. All I'm doing is just breaking off what God's saying to me and just sharing it with y'all. You know, that's all it is. That's my journal with Him. So y'all got all of this mandated. I mean, if y'all don't journal, they kind of like, dude, why ain't you journaling, right? I mean, I don't know if anybody reads your journal or not. The Holy Spirit reads your journal and everything. But see, y'all have got this space created. It's a mandated creating space. Okay? It's kind of like when we're raising our kids. I'll be honest with you, I'm a big proponent, and I've always been one. This is just who we are as a family. It was never a question with my kids coming through church or coming through life if we were going to church or not. That was never up for debate. As long as they lived with me, that was never. They 18-year-old, you know what we're doing? We're going to church. You said, brother, I think they need to. Do you let them make that choice about school? When James, your kids, when they get up, what do they know they're going to do tomorrow? Go to school. Why? You say, well, they got to. They're going to get expelled and they're going to come arrest me for being a poor. Now, the reason that you mandate them going to school is because you know it's healthy for them. You know it's good for them. I don't want them to be illiterate. I don't want them to be stupid, ignorant, flunk out, and all of that stuff. I want them to actually be able to read when they graduate. But we come in and we don't want to create that space for kingdom life. Because I don't want them not like it. I want to get them where they fall in love with Jesus, and then it's not even a, you know. And so right now, it's mandated for you guys to come in and have this space with God. The challenge for y'all is not right now or next week if you're going to have encounters with the Holy Spirit. The challenge for y'all is when you get through the program and you leave in February, brother, if you're not doing the next phase, and you're in Memphis or wherever, the challenge for you then is going to be, will I continue to create space and carve out room for God in my life? If you do and surround yourself with kingdom people, then you'll be successful. If you don't, you will fail. You may not fall back on drugs. That may not be an issue. I hope that stuff's clear and it's never never on the radar screen again. You say, man, I see how destructive that is, and I don't want any part of that in my life. So, heck no, I'm running the other way, 180, 1,000 miles an hour. I hope that's the case. But you can be drug-free and still fail miserably in life. The real challenge for you guys is not whether or not y'all are going to stay on your stay off your addiction or not. The real challenge for you, because see what that is a fruit. The challenge for you, I know you're sitting there and some of y'all are like, bull crap, you don't know what you're talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. I promise you I know what I'm talking about in this. That's the fruit. You know what the root is? If I come in and I have this amazing relationship with God and I carve out all of this space, then that fruit is not evident in my life. Because my life is filled with kingdom and His righteousness and His love and His passion. So therefore that stuff has no toehold in my life. I'm just being real, man. Man, don't think you're the only guy that's ever snorted a line of coke. I have too. Don't think you're the only guy that's smoked a lot of weed and got really hammered at a lot of concerts. I have too. But the reason that it's not, and I'm not knocking anybody in here, man. All of us is in the same, we're all in the same shooting match together. But the only reason I've been successful is because I have gone through life and said, I am carving out and creating space for God to have direct access, to have intercourse in my life. And when I allow Him to do that, then there's not... When I'm smitten for her, I'm not going to lust after all that. We had a church full of beautiful women. We do. We got. Have y'all noticed? We got good-looking people in our church. I remember at one of the girls' weddings. I don't remember which one it was, but at one of the girls, both the girls did destination weddings. And at one of the girls' weddings, somebody that was catering or something like that, they came up to me and they're like, my gosh, is everybody y'all know good looking? Y'all not invite ugly people to your weddings? We're in a church that's full of attractive women. I don't struggle with lust because I'm smitten with her. I don't struggle with consistency because I'm smitten with Him. I don't struggle with faithfulness because I'm smitten with Him. And I can say, this ain't just me, this is you guys too. It's creating space. Did we read any scripture? Alright, what time is it? Let me check. So what time is it? We're good, we've got 25 minutes. Yes, ma'am.
Is the natural intercourse. But I looked up the definition. Intercourse means the interchange of thoughts and feelings. So it's not just a sexual thing. It's a very personal, deep, deep thing between you and whoever. And you're talking about having that time with God and Holy Spirit. It's an interchange of thoughts and feelings between you and God. Very personal time. A very vulnerable time.
And what we do, we're adults in here. We don't have kids in here tonight and all this. And, if they listen to the podcast, then y'all can do some explaining. Send them to Pastor Lori, and she'll talk to them. See, the problem with our culture is we have so shallowed. We have so shallowed intercourse and making love and equated that to sex. I can have intercourse with my wife without ever having sex with my wife. I have intercourse with Yahweh without getting a tingly feeling in the hair standing on the back of my neck because the preacher hit certain octaves or they sing my favorite praise and worship song. That's stimulation. God wants us to move past stimulation. Stimulation feels good. But there's a deep river. Stimulation's temporary. There's a deep river that God wants us to live in. And it's a... You know when Jesus was standing up there and the Pharisees were talking to him and asking him, you know, by what authority he did these things and by what power he did these things and all of that stuff. And he told them, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he was speaking from spirit-filled man. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I only do what I've seen the Father do. I only say what I've heard the Father say. And the way that he got that was by, he said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. I'm about to freak you out. But you can hit that on certain levels with people that are not even your spouse. And get past your shallow mind. But I so should connect with covenant people on a intimate, spiritual, kingdom level. That we begin to flow, and we begin to move, and we begin to be... Yeah, have y'all ever seen a flock of swallows? The birds, swallows. Y'all ever seen a flock of swallows? When they're flying and they move and one moves, the whole flock moves with them. They're in unison. Teal are like that. I love to see a flock of teal come in. You know, I mean, you got big ducks and they just come in. You know, they just barreling through there. But you get a flock of teal, it's a real small duck. And they're just, man, they're doing this and they're darting and moving. But when a flock of teal come in and you see one move, it's like the whole flock moves with it. And God wants us to get on spiritual levels. I and my Father are one. Isn't that what... If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Unfortunately, you know what? I am my Father's son. I am just like Ed Garner. Ask my mama. Ask her in private. She said, like Ed, she'll be like, oh my gosh. Guess what? Ask Brett. Brett will say, he done said, he amen that just by saying, hmm. Some things make you say, hmm. I and my Father are one. And it's common DNA. It's common DNA. And you and I should be so connected on deep spiritual levels, we carry such common DNA that we move like a flock of teal. Like swallows. Did I say sparrows a while ago? I meant swallows. I said swallows. Swallows. We move in rhythm. When people come in this house, that's what they should see and feel. And we look different. Our personalities are slightly different, but our kingdom DNA is the same. Our love is the same. Our compassion is the same. Our passion is the same. May look a little bit different, but it's the same. And it's because we come in and we create space for Him. We create space for the Holy Spirit. We create space for each other. This story that we might eventually read in 2 Kings chapter 4 and the Shunammite woman. You know how it started? She saw the man of God, Elisha. And she says, man, I see, he was coming through, he was like a circuit preacher. He would come through for, not a circuit preacher, but he would come through for significant events. They would come in and they would offer sacrifices. And he was a prophet to the nation. And he was coming through this place where she lived on a consistent basis. And she said, man, I want to host this man of God. And so she, The Lord says constrained. I love the King James language sometimes. Constrained him to come in and dine with her. So I want to prepare you a meal. Y'all know hosting takes work. You know why most of us don't host? Too much work. I got to clean my house. I actually got to cook something for some people. What if they don't like what I cook? That's an easy out for us, isn't it? I don't have the space. Enlarge your life. You might not can enlarge your house, but you can enlarge your life. That's what this chick did. Hosting costs something. That was one of the words that the Lord gave us for 2018. I'm excited about the 2000. We've already got one saver, and I dig that word that Lord's already dropped on Lori. But one of the words that He gave us for 2018 was hospitality. And the Greek on that is philoxenia. And it says, hosting with the appropriate honor that is bestowed upon a guest. And so we've tried to redouble our efforts this year in opening up our home and opening up our lives so that we can host other people, making room for other people in our life. And you know what's happened in that? Our relationships have been enriched. We were talking about that at work today, Cindy. Our relationships have been enriched. They've been enriched. You know why you and I have known each other less than a year, Paul, but I consider you a go-to guy in my life. I really do. You know one reason that God, and one thing is God has moved this thing at a real rapid pace with us. He's accelerated our relationship. But the reason that He was able to accelerate our relationship is because both of us have created space for each other. We have purposely created space for each other. And by us doing that, it allowed God to rush in there and supernaturally do some stuff. But this Shunammite woman, she saw the prophet coming through, and she said, I want to host him. And so she hosted him, and she had him for dinner. And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll do something like that. We'll create space for God on a significant event, and then we'll put a notch on our belt. And we'll have a great time with God. Those of you that came to our 30th anniversary celebration, was not both those days, was that just not wow? I mean, as far as our relationships. I mean, it wasn't just, I mean, you know, the girls, when they got up and just shared their hearts, and it was just great seeing people. It was great being around people. You guys were here that Sunday, weren't you? Wasn't that thick, just the presence of God? That was thick that Sunday, wasn't it? You know why? Because we were sitting there and we were celebrating the fact that we have hosted each other. We created space for each other. Most of us came in and said, you know what, Saturday night and Sunday, I'm going to be at church, and I'm going to be at the celebration Saturday night, and I'm putting it on my calendar. And we made a significant point of it. And so it was like, wow, because we created space. And you know what happens when we create space? God shows up. I've already just my calendar for next year just looks ridiculous. And you know what I'm doing? I'm going in and I'm creating space. I mean, I'm going through and I'm creating space. And I've had people call me recently and say, hey man, I'm getting married, and you know, David, you guys know David. A lot of y'all know David from the Blake House, man. He called me last month. He's like, hey man, I'm getting married in March and all this stuff. I want you to do the wedding and everything. And I'm like, what's the date? If I'm in town, I'll do it. And so he gave me the date. Me and Lori looked at the calendar, and I'm like, called him back. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm in. And Eric J. called me. He says, hey, man, October 26th. I don't know what we're going to do, Trail of Treats, but you know what? I'm carving out space for a significant event in their life and our life and in your life. And we've got to be intentional, and we've got to be design specific. Every time I go through Vinings, and we go through Vinings fairly regular, We go in there and we hang a right and head on over to West Paces and go to Buckhead. That's the way I like to go to Buckhead. I don't like to go 400 and come in the back way. I like to go in by the governor's mansion. Every time I go in right there and I hang a right, you know what I think about? That awesome fun night that we had over there when y'all got married. Was that not fun? Man, it was awesome. That's how I got to know these people. First time it was. We left there and we said, doggone, these Bowden people know how to party. We did. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I meant that as a big compliment. I said, they know how to have fun. They know how to live. But every time I go by that place, you know what I think about? That evening that I created space, I created a weekend for a couple I didn't know. And they invited me to come into their life and they really didn't know me. Steph didn't know me for beans. Jacob barely knew me through a mutual friend. But they created space for me to come into their life. And now look where we are today. I was just a vehicle to get y'all to my daughters. That was the real setup. You know, I'm glad I could facilitate that. I mean, that's the real vehicle. It's just me being God using that to get y'all to them. But it happened because y'all created space. I didn't have to do that. Y'all could have eloped. Y'all could have went to a JP. Y'all could have done a lot of different things. Heck, y'all could have just lived together and not even ever got married and said, you know what? Hey, it's 2000 and whenever that was. 2000 and something. Y'all said, we're going to create space. And God showed up. And here's the thing about the Shunammite woman, guys, is she comes on, and not only does she do it once, but you know what she said? She said, hey, every time you come through here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create space for you. There's never a question of what I'm going to do on Wednesday night. If I'm in town, you know what I'm doing on Wednesday night? I'm up here with you guys. If y'all ever stop coming on Wednesday nights, I'm going to be bummed. I really am, man. Because you know what? I say, man, you know, Wednesday night, you know what that is? That's God's night. That's when I gather together with my family. And I come up here and we break bread together. And we take communion together. And so I carve out that space. And guess what God does? God shows up and God meets us here. So it goes from a one-time thing to a regular, consistent thing. People come up and say, tell me what's your success for great marriage and all that stuff and everything. And you know what it is? We create space for each other. We do. I don't take her on a date once a quarter. Even when our girls were little, we're like, peace out. Yon yon. Babysitter. Granny and Papa, somebody. And we created that consistent space. Consistent space. And so you know what God did? You know what the Elisha did when he came through Shunem? You know where he was going to go eat? Shunammite woman. Going to her house. It was a given. Doors always open. Signs always come on in. There's going to be a meal for you. His response to her creating space was a yes to her invitation. I don't think I've ever come in and said, hey man, I'll take you on a date. And her said, I don't want to go on a date with you. It's a yes to the invitation. And that's the way God responds to us, guys. I want you guys to come in and recognize. She saw the significance of Elisha coming through. She saw the significance of Elisha, and she said, this is good enough for me to call out. We just got to realize that God's significant enough and worth enough for us to give Him space in our lives. What I'm doing is when I say I don't have time for God, I'm saying, God, you're more insignificant than these other things. And what we'll play it off as is we'll say God's understanding. He knows exactly where I'm at. And we'll catch up in heaven one day. Problem is, you may look into the eyes of somebody that you don't know. Y'all ever thought about the scripture where he says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you"? They said, but y'all remember that text? You guys remember that text? They said, "We cast out devils in your name. We did all these great works in your name. I was a deacon in the church. I preached for 30 years. He said, "Depart from me. I never knew you. We never intercoursed. Yeah, you did a lot of kingdom activity, but we never intercoursed." Do you know the one that you're looking into his eyes?
When we're talking about creating space and hosting people and hosting the presence well, it's all about us and what we can get out of it. A quote I read about a year ago that really kind of changed the way I try to host people. It said, the touch of a good hostess is when people come into your home or come to your event, if they leave feeling better about themselves than they do about you or your home, of, "Oh, well, her home's so fancy," or "her meal was so good." The touch of a good hostess is when they leave feeling better about themselves. And I think when we fail to equate that to our spiritual life, we come in and so we say we want to host the presence of God. We want to create space for God. But really, a lot of times in our heart, we're not saying it's all about you, God. We're really saying, "Come in and see me, God. Come see my needs and see what needs to be fixed and give me what I need and fix it and leave," instead of saying, "I'm hosting you. It's all about you. I'm the hostess, but it's all about you, God. And what we just want to worship you and spend time with you instead of what can you do for me."
Amen. Amen. That was good. That's good. The Shunammite woman went from an individual hosting to an occasional hosting to building a permanent place for the man of God. All this is in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 8 and going through the end of the chapter. She went from an individual hosting to an occasional hosting to building a permanent place for the man of God. She was creating opportunity for God to move in her life. This created opportunity for God to move in her husband's life. You remember a while ago I talked about how this thing builds on itself and develops from glory to glory to glory. That's what Leah was talking about right here. If Leah is not in a place, that's one thing I'm most proud of you girls on, is y'all host really well. You're always coming up with, and sometimes it's just a play date with some friend from homeschool and the kids come in and you know, I mean, I met Lori and Errol and all the five grandkids for lunch today, and I walked in and there's some strange little kid that I really didn't know, and I'm like, you know, I've seen him a time or two. He was in my kitchen the other day and I'm like, "Who is this kid?" Sometimes your house, you're like, "Who's this kid? Who are these 18 kids in my house?" But when you host, how do you host? What do they feel? Do they walk out of here feeling God's love on their life, God's kiss on their life, God's the hopeful potential that maybe God can do something significant in my life? And when we come in, this thing progresses and this thing builds and this thing develops. And she was creating opportunity for God to move in her life, this created opportunity for God to move in somebody else's life. So all of a sudden, she just wasn't facilitating this for me. She was facilitating this for others. It builds on itself. It develops, it progresses, it evolves. We're pretty selfish on Sunday mornings. Because typically on Sunday mornings when we come in, we're thinking about ourselves. I hope they play songs I like. I hope Sid preaches a good word because I need a good word today. And we'll come in 15 minutes late because I'm just going to miss one praise and worship song. And sometimes we'll check out before or during altar call because I'm not going to respond. I'm good and I've got something going on this afternoon. If you were really worried about, can I be blunt? If you were really worried about creating space and opportunity for somebody else, you know what you'd do? You'd be here early praying and setting an atmosphere. There'd be a lot of people in here and you'd say, but brother, I got kids. Yeah. So do most other people on the planet. Doesn't make you late for work every day, does it? Now, some of our employees, it does. You know. I guess that's why they're... Never mind. But if I was really... If I was really concerned... Why do you think the praise and worship team's up here? You know what time they get here every Sunday morning? Next time you want to dog out the praise and worship team because they missed a note or they didn't play your favorite song, you know what time they're up here every Sunday morning being prepared to host the presence, creating space for you to encounter God? About 8:30. Or 8. Is it 8? 8:30. I nailed it. I come rolling in at 9:30, 9:15. But they're up here at 8:30 on Sunday morning for a 10:30 service. Because they want to do everything they can to create an opportunity for you to encounter God. So next time you want to be critical, think about that. Because I bet at 8:30 on Sunday morning, you were not in a place creating space for them to encounter God. I love it when I can speak freely. Next time you want to be critical of me, ask yourself what you were doing Saturday night. Because you know what I was doing on Saturday night? I was trying to get in the presence of God to hear afresh, to God, what is the whisper of heaven for these people? Trying to create space for you. So you'd have radical encounter with God on Sunday morning. So think about that next time you're critical of me. I know you're not. I know you love me. I can say that to you. I can't point to everybody. That's why I'm here every Wednesday night. If I didn't teach, I'd be here every Wednesday night. You know why? Not just so I can get fed. Hey, I've listened to my podcast today. I've had about 2 hours of worship today. But you know why I'd be here every Wednesday night? Because of you guys. Because of y'all. Because I would want to help create an atmosphere, an environment. Create space so that somebody else can have encounters with God. Stuff happens, preacher. I know it does. I live in a real world. You ain't talking to somebody that sits in an ivory tower. I get up every morning and go to work. I've worked a job. Don't throw that at me and say, well, that's your job, brother. No, it ain't. I've run a business for 30 years. I got a farm. You know what I did before I came here today? I cut out of work a little bit early, but I went and hauled a load of firewood from Chris Bridges' house, went home and fed cows, and carried 2 loads of stuff to the dump before I came up here to create space for y'all. And I'm not tooting my horn, every one of us. There are people who do stuff in this house. I didn't mean this to be a beat up on church people night, but I just want a reality check for us. There are people that do stuff that y'all don't see. You know who's last man out 90% of the time in this house? Jeffrey Thompson, next time you're critical of Jeffrey, think about that. While you stuffing your face with chicken fingers. He's at CCC every Thursday. Appreciate the brother and pray for the brother. I hope he hears this podcast. I love you. I appreciate you, Jeffrey. For real. For real. Creating space for others. And what this does, it's 8 o'clock. What this does, y'all go ahead and stand to your feet. It'll make y'all feel good. I can always go an extra 5 minutes if I've got you standing up. What this does, these two, when they marry themselves with each other, and they are a progression, but when these two develop and marry themselves in your life, that creates a platform that causes space or a womb for God's dreams in your life, God's dreams for your life to be manifested. In the story of this Shunammite woman, you know what happened? The prophet came in after these first two, I'll say steps, y'all know what I'm saying. After these first two things began to manifest and take place, the prophet of God came in and he said, what can I do to bless this woman? She's been very careful, the King James language, she's been very careful in her care for me. What kind of heaven can I release into her life? And he asked her, and she's like, no, man, I'm good. And he asked Gehazi, his servant. You know what his servant said? He said, she doesn't have a child and her husband's old. So you know how heaven responded? Do y'all think that woman had ever dreamed about holding a baby in her arms? I guarantee you she had. For years dealt with infertility. Guarantee you that was a dream of hers. Guarantee it was a dream of her husband's. Have a son. That was a lot huger in that culture than it is today. You know, I'm great with having 2 daughters. That's just tremendous for me. But a son back then. I know that was a deep down dream in their life. And the Word says it. He'll give us the desires of our heart. And so when these first two things began to manifest and space was created for God to move, then heaven came in and heaven breathed heaven's dream on their life. And Elisha said, this time next year you're going to be holding a baby boy in your arms. Kind of like what God told Sarah and Abraham. Can this be? She said, don't tease me. He said, I'm not. And she had a son. And you know what that was? That was heaven's dream for her life. But if she had not created space for Elisha, if she had not created space for the man of God, you know what would not have been realized? Heaven's dream over her life. If she had not created space for her husband, you know what would not have been realized? Heaven's dream over his life. Can you imagine this old man? I'm finally holding a son in my arms. When we see the child have a stroke later on, you know what he was doing? He was out in the fields working with his father. I'm out working with my daddy. And the world threw him a curve and he had a stroke. She knew where to go. Man of God. No substitute. I don't want Gehazi. I don't even want your staff. I ain't going until you come. So tonight I want to ask you. I've been asking myself this ever since God resurfaced this in my life. How much space am I creating for God to move? How much space am I creating for God to move in my life? Am I intercoursing with Him? Am I intercoursing with Holy Spirit? Have a hard time doing that when the only thing I read is Covey Rise magazine, Ducks Unlimited. I can go on and on and on and on. Just because I'm in the same room with her. So you can come in here every Sunday and never intercourse with him. I can be in the room with her and not be in the room with her. Any of y'all ever done it? Hey, yeah. Depending on what show's on TV, right? But when we intercourse with him and we create space for him, it creates opportunities. It creates opportunities for the magnificent to happen, for the glorious to happen, for the adventure to happen, for the love affair to happen. It starts with creating space. Cindy, if you'll turn on some worship music.